budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air. Sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser.
Hey, everybody. We're here at BOMA 2023, a commercial real estate show. I'm joined by Very's head of client strategy, Bethany the Grizzly Ibera, our first time on the road together. Thanks for coming to join us.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. A lot of big brands, a lot of well-known companies.
And we're going to be here trying to see what technology innovations, specifically IoT, are happening in commercial real estate. Should we go take a look?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Hey, everybody. We're here at BOMA 2023. I'm standing here with Matt Michalajczyk. Matt, tell us a little bit about GPRS.
Yeah, so at GPRS, we help our clients visualize their built world, and that's above and below ground. And we use a variety of technologies in order to do that. So we use ground-penetrating radar, pipe locators, video pipe inspection. And once we find all that data underground, we capture it with GPS and laser scanning so that we can build models and 2D plans. And also, we developed our own sitemap GIS system to host that data for our clients. So it's actually part of our deliverable.
And this sitemap, this is something that the clients might see on the visualization side?
Absolutely, yeah. So every client that we have, they get to log into their sitemap and see what we've collected for them as part of our service.
Cool. And what brings you guys here to a show like BOMA?
Yeah, so we like to help our clients visualize their world. So we want to be able to give them plans where they don't have plans or validate the plans that they do have. So, you know, by us going out and finding those utilities, it may help them be more safe in the work that they do and also prevent outages and downtime of their facility. And obviously, that's something that we're really passionate about is keeping our clients safe and making sure everybody can make it back home every night.
I love it. So you guys seem very technology driven. What are some of the problems that you guys are solving for? Give us our audience a sense for like some of the difficult technical challenges you guys have had to solve in order to be valuable for commercial real estate clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's two sides of it. There's our service side where we are going out and finding those utilities. So we have a really intense training that we have to make sure that our guys know what they're doing and that they're doing it consistently every time. And then there's the development side of things with Sitemap, which we've been working on for almost 4 years now. And we're getting it to a point where we're actually releasing it to our clients now because it's taken that long to really figure out how to do things and make sure that it's right and it's going to be safe and consistent for all of our clients to use.
Okay, dumb question. Are you guys primarily focused on new construction or existing construction?
That's a great question. It's really everything. So we're out there right before they break ground, but we're also out there before they get into design to make sure that they know where all the utilities are and they can design around those utilities before they get to construction. So we can really approach both sides of the coin.
Last question. Give us a look ahead. What are you guys excited about? Customers that you're working with, what are some things you guys are really excited about in the near future?
Right now, we're just so excited about Sitemap and getting it into our customers' hands because we've been working with it for a number of years and we know how much it affects our teams to be more safe and more efficient at their jobs. And we just know it's going to help our clients that much more do their jobs really well.
Matt Michalajczyk, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, everybody, we're here at BOMA. I'm here standing here with Travis Jarrett. Travis, tell us about Metropolis.
Sure. So Metropolis is a parking operator and a technology vendor combined into one. We bring a next generation frictionless experience to parking garages utilizing AI technology through license plate recognition lenses. So not only are we taking pictures of license plates, but we get maps of cars, and that's how we deliver a frictionless experience that's remarkable for people coming in and out of all of our assets, 650 nationwide.
Wow. Okay. So doesn't seem like much of a leap, but just to so we're all on the same page, tell me about how that applies in a commercial real estate lens.
Yeah. So we joke, like, parking sucks. And what that means for us is, it was kind of a mantra for us in the beginning, is that you always have a bottleneck of ingress and egress when people come in for commercial real estate, that people don't want to get stuck in their garage. People don't want to have an issue coming in or out. We always say that, you know, parking is your first and last experience. And that works the same way for commercial real estate, whether that's retail, office, commercial lenses, even in the space where we have warehouse lenses. All of those scenarios are looking for an easy ingress and egress period. And the remarkable point on this is that you only have to interact with Metropolis once ever. And then similar to like a toll tag or anything like that, it is built to make that second, third, fourth, and infinite experience remarkable by just driving in and driving out of a facility. It increases tenant sat, really.
And so we're a technology podcast. I'm guessing that you guys aren't solving this with human in the loop. This is a technology-driven solution?
Very much so, yes. So technology-driven solution, all AI-based. It's been, had a learning algorithm since 2020. That learning algorithm has learned to map out different angles of vehicles. Our camera captures typically normal LPR ratios without an AI algorithm on top. Maybe a 70% accuracy rating. Our cameras are getting us into the 96, 97 percentile, which is on par with a gated solution. So anybody in the parking space will know that you normally have a 3% dip in any, I guess, leakage, if you will. Cameras have the same thing, except on our side, we're going to catch everybody. Because after they leave, we still have record and we have the ability to go out and skip trace that vehicle for collections.
Talk to me about the future of parking. Yeah. I mean, we saw technologies like this first in, I don't know, like the Singapores and the New Yorks of the world. Now you're starting to see it in more middle tier cities, it seems. Yeah. What is the future of this and what's you guys' view on this generally?
Yeah, so I mean, the idea of frictionless parking, I mean, that is where the paradigm shift is going. We're going away from pulling tickets. We're going away from friction environments. Amazon's piloting that out with the Amazon To Go store. Expect what you expect of everyday life in parking, right? The antiquated systems are gone. This is a scenario where we use what we already have in our hand that's connected to a network, right? It's the value of a neural network. There's over, I think, 2% of the entire driving population is already on Metropolis transacting with us throughout the year. So we view this as parking is a stepping stone into a transaction world where we are just frictionless and we have the ability to transact without having cards, without having cash, without having the wallet be in your pocket. Your wallet can be a credential that you have on you every day. Soon enough, the wallets are going to be created to where you have your license plate, that's your car's wallet. Your fingerprint, that's your wallet, right? We're already seeing that with mapping of face technology and with fingerprint technology to tie to wallets. So that's what we're looking for, is that we're creating the mobile space and with the implementations to go into, like, recognizing your car as you drive up Chick-fil-A. We'll already know your order. They already have that, you know, first name basis. That's where Metropolis is going.
Two follow-ups, curveballs, if you will. Number one, as you think about Metropolis's mission and what you guys are trying to accomplish, is there a sense of we want to be the this of parking, you know, where you're like, or is there another industry that you view as being transformed in such a way that you guys are like, we want to transform it in that kind of way?
Yeah, so I mean, it is a transformational scenario. So Metropolis was the first to come up with an AI technology algorithm that was going to link somebody on a reoccurring basis. Or you didn't have to scan another QR code every time you talk to a parking garage, right? I say talk to as interact with. We're looking to be the Disney of the parking space, right? That remarkable experience of, like, I know you as you're driving through, like, you ride a roller coaster and it says, hey, Travis, like, here's your picture with your family. Some would argue Big Brother. We argue ease of access and what's coming to market.
And last question, as you look at the automotive industry, which I guess is kind of tangential to you guys, who are you guys viewing as? I mean, I guess the easy answer is going to be Tesla, so try to do better. But, you know, who's out there making your job the easiest? You're looking at the intelligence in the car.
The initial inlays or the potential inroads for what is already being built currently, you think about things like BMW, Ford, with their link systems that are already integrated with things like third-party aggregators from the parking world, right? You're already getting marketed to about where you go and stable your car, right? So as you come into a city and you're at a stop sign, Waze will push a notification to you that says it's a third-party aggregator. It'll say, hey, this is where you're going for parking. So the technology is built on the platform of just needing to be plugged into. Now, we have a network of 650,000 locations, and as that grows exponentially, we have the buying power similar to, you know, like an Amazon of the parking world. So Metropolis is likely, I think we're ranked at about the sixth or the fifth largest parking operator in the nation right now. With that kind of inventory, way that we see that kind of inroad mobility is that the platform's already built for us. It's just now unlocking that extra feature that now, if you're a Ford owner, or if you're a BMW owner, if you're a Tesla owner, whatever the case is, as long as you have the Metropolis portion that can speak to your car, you have access to all of these locations now.
Love it.
So,
okay, one last curveball, because you've proven to be a curveball hitter today. Self-driving cars from the view of Metropolis, friend or foe?
So, we welcome the self-driving cars piece. There are still going to be a place for cars to be present, and they have to be close by to whoever's going to be bringing them in, right? There is not a world that we see in the future 10, 15 years from now where I go to work and then send my car home 45 minutes because then I've got to wait for my car to come back in. There's still physical traffic, even if you have all these mobility cars that are moving autonomously. You still need stables. You may be able to have the self-driving car and, I can answer emails on the way into work and I'm able to fall asleep and come to work. Cool. Let's get there. But those vehicles, those four wheels and a motor, are still taking up quote unquote real estate.
Yep.
And that real estate, maybe it moves to the suburban core, but there's still that many vehicles on the roadway. So we're still going to be prevalent. It's a future-proof piece.
Travis Jarrett from Metropolis, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Hey, everyone. We're here at BOMA 2023. I've got Tasha Birdwell. Tell us about Dormacop.
Thank you for having me, first of all. Dormacop is a global company. We cover every vertical. We cover things from security entrances to doors to hardware to access control. So we're a pretty broad-based company that does a lot of things in buildings for every place that matters.
So we covered a totally different conference about 3 months ago. We saw you guys there, not you, but some of your colleagues. It does seem that you guys cover a lot. Tell me, what brings you to a show like BOMA? So this is commercial real estate. We previously saw you guys at a hospitality design conference. What brings you here?
So first of all, BOMA is an incredible organization to work with. Regionally and internationally, our salespeople get engaged with the organization, and this is how we work. These are the people we sell to, and we bring solutions to their buildings. So being at a conference like BOMA is a no-brainer for us as a company, because everything that we do belongs in that building.
So let's talk about the things that you guys do. Let's talk tech a little bit. So we're a tech podcast. What are some of the technology solutions that you guys are here talking with folks about today that you're most excited about?
So right now, security entrances is a big part of the business, right? I mean, keeping your building secure, number one priority, right? For every tenant in that building. And we do security revolving doors. We do optical turnstiles. And then on top of that, we have service branches that will do preventative maintenance for those units. So do the installations for you. So we offer a lot of options in terms of, here's how you're going to solve your security problem, right? You need to have a very specific type of security. Every building has their own wish list.
Mm-hmm.
But we offer a lot of that physical product that creates that for them.
One of the things that we've been hearing about a lot today is preventative maintenance. Commercial real estate customers are looking for things that will tell you in advance that they're in need of maintenance or replacement parts. Is this something you guys are thinking about a lot?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we are in launch mode right now for products that do that, with sliding doors and swinging doors, automated doors,
mm-hmm.
where you'll be able to know, right? It'll send information to the system that'll tell you that you're 3 months out, right? Schedule your preventative maintenance. Every property manager wants to know, when can I take that door down? I want to make that decision. I don't want the door down on its own. I want to make that choice.
Right, sure.
So it is absolutely a part of our long-term product launch plan.
Looking backwards, do you remember a moment in time where this became a show? I mean, we're here now. Take us backwards in time. Do you remember, was this customer driven? Was this, you know, in order to be able to be competitive in the marketplace, this was something that you guys were going to have to solve for? How did we get to this moment?
It absolutely came from voice of customer. So when we started designing our security revolving door, we went out to the market. We went to corporate security directors and said, what do you wish? Like, if you could have anything, what do you wish? Or what keeps you up at night,
mm-hmm.
right? Those kinds of questions led to, I need to decide. I don't want the door making the decision for me, right? So that's kind of how we then went to our product development team and said, this is what the customer's looking for. This is what we have to solve.
And so if we find ourselves today here, and preventative maintenance is a big part of what you guys are talking about in the booth today and globally in 2023.
Absolutely.
I love it. Tasha Birdwell, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. Ryan Prosser here at BOMA 2023. I'm standing here with Brian Fenske, Director of Commercial Business at Navien. Tell us a little bit about Navien.
Well, Navien is a Texas water heater and boiler company. We've been distributing product in North America, including Latin America, since 2008. I've been with the company since 2009, so I've been around for quite a while in the development of the company and development of all our products.
Cool. And I remember seeing you guys at HD Expo, a hospitality-focused show. So you guys are on the circuit. What brings you here to BOMA?
Well, BOMA is actually our first time here. I went to Nashville last year to check out the floor and walked it myself and decided it was a little missing piece that we had, because we do a lot of expos and attendance for restaurant shows, hotel shows, hospitality shows, and multifamily. But we kind of missed the whole of BOMA. Now, I belonged to BOMA many, many years ago when I lived in New York. So it was kind of natural because a lot of building owners and managers come to BOMA. And so we're kind of covering our bases here also.
Cool. And I know one of the things that you guys have been answering a lot of questions about today and recently is NaviLink. Tell us about this product.
Well, NaviLink is a product that we've had for approximately 8 years or so, maybe nine. And what it does is it's easily incorporated into any of our products. So all of our boilers, our combi boilers, our regular boilers, and our tankless water heaters, it simply connects into the master system and allows a person to control or monitor their equipment based on their cell phones, whether it be an iPhone or an Android. And it's perfect because it allows them to not only control and monitor the gas usage and the amount of usage and the operation of usage, but if there should ever be any issue with any of the product, it alerts you via push notifications and also text, which is really nice because you can assign multiple receivers of that text. So if you want your maintenance guy or your service guy to be aware that there might be a problem with one out of eight of your heaters, that they can get down there and it's not becoming an emergency anymore, they can kind of plan the scheduled service before it becomes a crisis.
So 8 or 9 year old product, as you said, you've been with the company for longer than that, so you know a thing or two. What is one or two difficult technical problems that you guys had to solve for in the development of this product that might surprise people?
Well, really nothing. I'll be honest with you. We continue to advance the product. Not only is this unit here capable of operating up to three separate systems. So in other words, if they had different boilers separate from their tankless water heater systems, they could monitor them all together on one phone or one setup. But also, we just rolled out, just last 6 months, a simplified version of this. We call it the NaviLink Lite. And it's just a smaller unit. It's about a third the size. It controls only one unit. So it's perfect for now residential.
Yeah.
So the residential homeowners or even the multifamilies where they have a single unit for each housing unit. It, now it's a lot simpler, easier, and lower cost opportunity for them to monitor their heating or domestic system from their phones or alert, again, the maintenance personnel, which is most important. A lot of times the maintenance guys, if there becomes an issue, loss of power, whatever, the maintenance guy will know before the homeowner or the tenant knows that there's a problem.
So I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone a little bit because you said residential. And we are primarily a commercial technology show, but it does surprise me how much more advanced the commercial side is than residential. There's nothing interesting happening, it seems, on the preventative maintenance side on the residential. But now I hear maybe you guys are getting into that with single unit monitoring. Thoughts on this? Anything you can report?
Well, you know, it's not like everything else. If I was to pull my phone out, I can show you all the cameras in my house.
Sure.
I can show you all my thermostats. I can show you my pool operation and temperature. But what was left out was the hot water systems or the boiler systems. And people really want to know or monitor everything that's going on. And also it allows them to control it from whether it be a vacation home and they want to raise the temperature before they get there. So it makes a lot of that stuff a lot simpler for them going forward. And this has just kind of been done like in the commercial side for a long time, but typically it was a BMS system and they had to sit at a computer. Well, now you can be on the road and know what's going on before you get there or be on vacation or whatever and know there's an issue. Like my father, who likes to travel a lot, but he was always worried about living in Buffalo that his house might freeze up.
Sure.
So now he's aware. He can call a service person or a service person can be alerted or his neighbor can go over and check before there's any issues.
Last question. One of the things we've been hearing today from other vendors of technology products to commercial real estate customers is that preventative maintenance, predictive maintenance capabilities in the product has gone from a selling point to if you don't have it, you're in deep trouble. Has that been you guys' observation?
I'm a fan of it. You know, tankless water heaters, just as one example of many, do require some attention on occasion, which is really entirely dependent mostly on water quality. So whether it be a residential or light commercial, planned maintenance, scheduled maintenance is always a good thing because we want to extend the life of the equipment, but more importantly, keep that high efficiency operation up there, which could happen or you could lose if you don't maintain a unit.
Brian Fenske, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, everybody, BOMA 2023. I'm here with Brian Pollack. Brian, tell us about Nalco Water.
Yeah, Nalco Water is the world's leader in water treatment. And what brings us here is focusing on energy and sustainability, where we drive water savings and energy savings through our technologies and have really started to grow in the digital and that type of a world. What brings us here specifically is We have a division that's set up for facility management in the commercial building industry. And really, we're working with them on sustainability goals, driving our technologies, and figuring out ways that we can help buildings save water, save energy, and really make a robust water safety platform for our customers.
All right, so you stole my second question. It was going to be, what are you here doing? So now I'm going to invent one on the fly.
Yeah.
One of the things that we saw, we went to a hospitality show a few months ago. We heard a lot of people talking about conservation of resources, water, electricity, in ways that didn't feel like what you're seeing on the residential side. It felt like the commercial applications were taking that stuff a lot more seriously. Maybe the cost is more significant. Does that hold true for you guys? You've seen commercial customers take water savings more seriously than maybe you would see on the residential side?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about the scale and the amount of water that they're really using, and what's nice is a lot of the industry and the building owners and the facility management companies are committing to sustainability goals, just like our company is Nalco Water. You know, we commit to saving a certain amount of water every year. In the next 4 years, we want to save 300 billion gallons of water annually. So we're finding that our partners in the industry are starting to come along and say sustainability really is a driver for us, which is great to see because we really need it. And when you think about residential versus a large building or even then the hospitality side that you're talking about, makes a big difference.
Cool. And one of the reasons we were excited to talk to you guys is the Ecolab 3D. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Ecolab 3D is one of our new technologies. So we're known in the industry as having a great chemical program, a great control program. But really what Ecolab 3D is all about is bringing the Internet of Things to water treatment. And it's really where we've invested in the marketplace, where we think the industry is going. Because from an enterprise approach, we're able to look at aggregate how our customers are performing. We're able to get a little bit more predictive in the industry. And really, it's allowing our technologies to talk to each other, talk to our customers, focus on their key business drivers, give us the visibility into how things are performing. And really, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's helping us make our customers' lives easier, give them better visibility into how their metrics are performing. And really, as you said, in the sustainability world of things, we're helping them save water, save energy, and make their water safer as well.
One of the things we've been hearing over and over, not just at this conference, but others that we've been going to, is the word predictive comes up a lot.
Yeah,
absolutely. Feels like if you're not there as a company, this is no longer a neat selling point. It's now table stakes. Is that you guys' view?
I completely agree with that. So even in the water treatment world, we're taking 100 years of experience in that marketplace and investing in algorithms that have data for, like I said, the last 100 years. So we're trying to understand when we get that information, how we can take that and make it predictive. And we know as the world's leader in water treatment, that's where the market has to go because we need to be ahead. We need to figure out when something's going to happen and do something before it happens, especially the water treatment market has shifted over the last years from performance standards to more of the health standards. And when I say health standards, it's really about Legionella and water management programs. And really, it's making that water a little bit safer and doing the right things around that. So some of our Ecolab 3D and our predictive analytics has allowed us to understand when a cooling tower or even your domestic water might be a little bit more susceptible to certain things like Legionella. And you can try to really get ahead of that through our water safety intelligence programs. So really, we completely understand that that's where the industry's going. And if you're not going there, then you're just way behind and you're really not going to do the right things for your customers.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Great. Appreciate it.
All right, folks. So just like a father that has a lot of kids, I am supposed to love all the podcast guests equally, but today I love one more equally than most. We're here with Courtney Bell from Husqvarna. Courtney, yes. For those that don't know, tell us about Husqvarna.
So Husqvarna is more than 330 years old. We have a history where we were making rifles for the war out of Sweden. And then we went into other things and manufactured a lot of different products over the years. And then in the 1900s, really got into chainsaws and some of our lawn and landscape equipment.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that I'm a big fan of Husqvarna. I personally use a Husqvarna chainsaw. Yes. You guys seem to cover a tremendous amount of product lines. We're here today talking about
our autonomous turf care. So it's our automower, robotic mowers, and our Seora. We started in the industry in 1995, so the company was already bringing the solar mower out then before other companies had come out with an autonomous mower. And we haven't really seen much traction here in the U.S. until recently. It's been very big in Europe where they have less landscapers and such. And so people really take pride in their lawns and they're, you know, very environmentally forward. So they think a lot about sustainable, you know, solutions out mm-hmm. there. But we're now seeing a lot of interest and traction, especially, you know, as landscaping is shifting and more environmental and noise laws come into play. And
sure.
So
cool. So I'm going to paint a word picture for folks at home not looking on video. If you've seen any of the robot vacuum cleaners, there's a lot of brands, of course. This is one of those on steroids that cuts your grass, right?
It does.
Can you talk a little bit about, we're here at a commercial real estate show. What were some of the customer-driven requests that caused you guys to pour what looks like a huge amount of development into this product?
So we're here to really educate property owners and managers about these sustainable solutions and that working with their landscaper, they can put these on their properties either in very large areas of land that are hard to mow or need frequent mowing, or in areas that are hard to mow on top of buildings, in courtyards or other places like that. We really want to show them that they have less noise and no emissions, that they will allow their tenants to continue to work without those interruptions throughout the day. And they don't have to worry about, you know, their grass being mowed this week, or is the landscaping company going to be able to make it? And what if the grass grows really long this other week because we had a lot of rain? This always keeps the ground mowed, and it'll mow day or night, rain or shine. So
it seems to me that this would be especially valuable for anyone that was actually using the ground. So like a soccer facility or a golf course.
Correct.
Where they're going to lose revenue if you have to stop and mow the grass. Has that been something you guys have seen?
Yes. In fact, you know, a lot of golf courses, they have to have their grounds mowed before the first tee off in the morning. And it's a very precise cut. And these mowers can go down to that precise cut, and because they're constantly keeping it mowed and they're taking off little bits of grass, it's making the turf healthier, and it can go day or night and it won't disrupt like people that are out there golfing or enjoying the dining experience or even homes that surround those properties. So it takes it off that golf course or that sports field.
Great. So one last question before I let you go. When I last checked on this product a couple of years ago, I remember somewhat manual process to set the perimeter of That's where you correct. Did and didn't want it cut. It seems that you guys, there's been some evolution from that.
There has. So we still have those models available, especially if there's a lot of tree coverage. You want to use that in the ground wire to map out your boundaries. But we have gone wire free as well. We've brought our EPOS models and our Sierra, and it's using the reference station to help bring that satellite in so that you can get that accuracy and do it all through an app and taking your mower and actually walking it around and setting points and then stay out zones. And then it also allows you to do pattern cutting, which gives you more acreage in that cutting time before it has to go charge. So now with the 550 EPOS, you can mow up to 2.5 acres and do it in straight lines and get those lines that you're looking for and have it all done in an app. So your landscaper can set the different heights. They can tell it to go back to the docking station if inclement weather is coming in. They can see where they can track it. So if somebody wants to borrow it and take it off your property,
yep.
they can see it's left that boundary and then find out where it is through GPS tracking.
I love it. Yes. Courtney Bell, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey everybody, BOMA 2023. I'm here with Greg McKeever. Greg, tell us about Quench.
So Quench, we are the largest filtered water service provider in North America. We provide clients with point-of-use filtration, water filtration systems that can be anywhere from an ice machine, a water dispenser. We've got flavored water, sparkling water. We do all of the maintenance and service for the end user to kind of take that off their plate so that the facility managers and the administrators don't have to worry about providing clean, safe drinking water to their employees, tenants, you know, whoever their end users are going to be. So we tap into a water line in a facility, we put in our filtration, and we feed that to the end use system for the end user. Like I said, there's a number of different options, whether you want, you know, depending on what kind of functionality and what kind of service you want to provide. But it's sort of our general.
So of all the companies here, you guys, I think, are the only ones that represent kind of a cultural phenomenon. So the water cooler is the great gathering point for people socially. Is that something that you guys talk about internally? Hey, listen, this is not just water. We're providing the space where people come together and share ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in, you know, the post-COVID world, and people are trying to bring their employees back to the office. Filtered water systems, flavored water systems, ice machines are a nice amenity to provide people to, you know, kind of get an enticement to bring them back into the facility, collaborate, sort of share around the water cooler, like you said, and create that sort of focal point of the office.
And so here we are, BOMA, this commercial real estate show. I can imagine that, you know, the water cooler has kind of a legendary place in commercial real estate. What are some of the things that you guys are excited to talk about today that you're hearing a lot of customers, potential customers asking you about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is sustainability. You know, you think when you think of the water cooler, typically you think of that 5-gallon jug that, you know, winds up in a landfill. We're a replacement for that, and we're a much more sustainable option for that. You're not using the plastic. Not worried about microplastics. We've had some people ask about microplastics. You know, just that sustainability aspect of it to us is sort of our big value proposition, big focal point in the water cooler industry these days.
Cool. And so I see here in the booth, and for folks at home that cannot see on video, we've got both some home developed products that are branded your brand, and then I see Bevy as well, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Folks will remember Bevy. Can you talk a little bit about the different products that, and what is the process for a commercial customer look like to select, I don't know, the best for their application?
Yeah, so we, you know, as a sales rep for Quench, we work closely with the customer to kind of guide them in the right direction and figure out what the right solution is for their individual needs. And we have, like you said, a pretty wide product line so that we can offer every person a slightly different solution depending on what's best for them. Bevy, like you mentioned, is a great system. It's kind of the Cadillac of our product line. It does a little bit of everything. It does the flavors. It does sparkling water. You can get regular hot and cold water out of it. So if you're looking for something really top of the line, Bevy's a great option there. If you're just looking for sort of a simple, basic water cooler for a small office or a break room, we've got that as well. And if you need ice, we've got that and a full range of sizes and capacities depending on the size of the facility and the needs of the individual client. So, you know, that's sort of our role in this process is to work with the customers and figure out kind of what the right solution is for them and then guide them in the right direction.
One of the things that we've heard over and over and over today and at some of these other commercial shows is predictive maintenance. People want to know when the thing's going to break down. I imagine you guys don't want to send out service reps for something that doesn't need service or only to discover it did need service 3 months ago.
Yep.
Is that something that you guys think about a lot?
Certainly a challenge. Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, the biggest thing for us is doing the preventative maintenance on the front end so that we don't have those issues down the line. So all of our products come with comprehensive maintenance and service packages. We do preventative maintenance either once or twice a year, depending on the type of system, to make sure that these things are kept in good working order and we're not running into those issues down the line. The Bevy specifically is a nice product because it has a remote monitoring capability. We're actually able to see the machine and see kind of its functionality. We can tell when some of the consumables are going to run out. We can sort of diagnose over the air some issues with that as well. So that seems to be kind of one of the trends in the industry, and we're looking at that some of our other products as well, that internet enhanced capability.
Greg McKeever, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely, appreciate it.
Hey everybody, BOMA 2023, final interview of the day. I'm here with Bill Coller, Enterprise Sales at Trane. Bill, I know this is a silly question. Tell us a little bit about Trane, if you would. And what brings you guys to a commercial real estate show like BOMA?
Well, thank you. Trane's a world-class OEM provider of HVAC service and products, building automation systems. Been involved with BOMA for many, many years as a cornerstone partner, and happy to be here and support BOMA and its mission in helping grow the property management field.
Yeah, cool. So you guys have been out in front on a couple of different technologies. What are some of the things you guys are interested in, you're having a lot of people ask you about today?
Well, we all know ESG has been a very hot topic. And while we participate in all levels of ESG, one of the most important topics is called decarbonization. Our products and the way that they operate, the way that they're made, plays into the decarb story very well. But most importantly, it's how those products are operated and maintained. And that brings us to today. The hot topic is AI. How does that play into the HVAC industry? Trane is piloting a number of sites with an AI provider. That AI software sits on top of a Trane control system existing and helps provide a better picture into what's going on in the system on a more frequent basis. It takes into account data points outside of what our normal systems do, for instance, weather, usage patterns within a building, and helps provide the most efficient use of that HVAC product. And it can also help on the reactive preventative maintenance standpoint and looking at different aspects of how that equipment is operating. If it sees deficiencies, it can alert us we can intelligently dispatch our HVAC technicians to help solve whatever issue there.
So I was going to ask you about preventative maintenance, but you beat me to it. It feels like that 10 years ago was a cutting edge space. Train was way out in front on that. Now it almost feels like if you're not doing it, you're dead. Is that your view on it as well?
It is, and some do it better than others. We're always on the cutting edge trying to figure out what's pie in the sky and what's reality.
Sure.
And trying to find that medium base and come through with a consistent pattern of performance for the end customer, the user, the occupant of the building. You know, we've been through COVID with IAQ, and what did that look like? Enhanced preventative maintenance or not? New products to help clean or clear the air? That chapter seems to have passed, and now we're on to the VCARB, and that is the new topic that everyone is really interested in, reducing that CO2, understanding the impact that your facilities have on the earth.
Last question. You and I talked off camera a little bit about AI. Not getting into specifics, but when we're here next year interviewing you, doing a follow-up episode, any predictions on what life is going to look like through an AI lens in the HVAC world 1 year from now, not five?
1 year. I think that building owners and managers will be more accepting to listening and understanding what the AI proposition is. Heretofore, it's not quite been that. It's more, I don't know about that technology. I don't know what it is, but I think it's like anything. You know, people were scared to connect their building to a remote phone to be able to operate it.
Sure.
Well, that's a commonplace thing now. Well, when it first started, you're not touching my building and you're not letting my technology do that. Well, same thing's going to go with AI. Is people learn about ChatGPT and what it can do and the capabilities of it. Will be more accepting to allowing that technology to be a useful tool in running and operating their buildings.
Bill Collar, thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a wrap on BOMA 2023. A lot of cool things happening in commercial real estate through an IoT lens. I would say one of the big takeaways for me, if you're not doing predictive analytics, I think you're dead already and you just don't know it yet. Predictive analytics seem to be table stakes.
Agree. Another insight I saw, buildings and building management is not new. It's been around for decades. A lot of things in the building are being connected. It's what are you using with that data and those insights. That's a lot of the problems that these pretty well-established companies are working on solving.
Okay, I'll give you guys two number threes. One's a runner-up, one's the one I'm going to go with. The runner-up is there is only big brands here. There is only large companies. I think commercial real estate is probably a terrible place for a startup. It doesn't look like there's a lot of small companies getting traction. I'm seeing big brands, and I think that might be to do with trust. Probably if you own a big piece of commercial real estate, it's a big investment. But I would say my third takeaway is actually post-COVID, it seems like there's a lot of people that care a lot about how these buildings are being used, who's using them, how often. The access is something they're tracking closely. It feels like there's an ESG element to this as well, but also an investment efficiency angle. They want to know how often is their real estate investment being used, and you get kind of a right size vibe to it. They want to know, do we need to buy more? Have we bought too much? I thought that was an interesting takeaway.
Yeah, great.
Closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Lots of established companies doing lots of interesting things, technologically speaking, to add efficiency, to make things smarter, more usable for not just the building managers, but their occupants, and keep us greener and safer.
All right, BOMA 2023, that's a wrap.
Over the Air is brought to you by Very. To find out more about us, head over to verypossible.com and make sure to search for Over the Air in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. Don't forget to click subscribe to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Very, thanks for listening.